Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on Zolk'in Count is called Blue Solar Storm, and it is the ninth day of the Blue Monkey Wave Spell, and it is the Resonant Moon Day 8. And look, I think part of the theme of the podcast is why aren't the episodes timely and rhythmic, which is something I completely believe in, that things should be scheduled and there should be a routine time that they arrive. And that way, everything is replicating human organs that are cyclical and repetitive. So I apologize. I don't think it's ideal. I don't like it. I lost my internet at home. So when I want to upload something during COVID, I'm like trying to find Wi-Fi out in the world, and lost my internet at home is completely my fault and rectified soon. I didn't lose it for lack of payment, in case that's what it sounds like. I just lost it because I was sharing internet, and then I wasn't sharing anymore. They moved. So they moved on. So it's very retrograde. My theme today is retrograde adjustments that coincide with the Blue Monkey Wave Spell and the full moon. And I, you know, don't communicate with every listener, but I would sort of, in a personal intuitive way, ask you, like, how's it going? Because I think that's a pretty strong triumvirate to have Mercury being retrograde in a highly technologically driven age where communication is constant. Those interruptions in technology and communication and mechanisms affect us a great deal in our modernized world. And then the full moon affects us as a place of extremes, tidal shifts. So the balance is really not achieved. If you think of a seesaw, it's really even when we have what we call half moons. But during the new moon and the full moon, it's really teeters. And there are, like, someone's really high. I don't know if when you were a kid on the seesaw, that it was actually kind of terrifying when you got pushed all the way to the height of the beam. And that's how I think the full moon kind of fluctuates. Like, this is too high and extreme. And then you hit the bottom. Do you remember that feeling where the plank lands on the ground? It like bounces on the ground. And that's not comfortable either. It kind of hurts your body and jolts you. So the full moon is delivering on that promise. And, you know, lunacy is related to that moon cycle and the extreme of this time. And then finally, Blue Monkey has its own connection to both of those other outlying descriptors of the time, the full moon and the retrograde, because Blue Monkey is full of illusions. And I don't even know what that means, but it's kind of like what you thought was real isn't. And I really would invite you to see that as the child's predicament. A child thinks something is some way because it's been described to them. And then the parent changes their mind, is human, as it were, is flawed. And what the parent has been saying is the routine or the ritual or the expectation suddenly is inverted, and a child is super confused, disoriented, and then anxious. Another thing is that a child has assumptions based on their own imagination and developing will, and they find things they like on their own, and they want it to be that way, and they expect in a naivete and undeveloped personality that because they liked it, it can be that way again. Or, you know, they embellish. Their imagination is creating a picture of something that would be wonderful to have and that isn't attainable in reality. They got it from cartoons or storybooks. So that is a lot of the drama of a child going through their developmental stages, is just like, okay, it's not what they said, it's not what I want. And then by the time you're an adult, you've accepted that, or an older adult, you're like, okay, it's not going to be what I want, it's not going to be what I thought, it is what it is, which I think is one of the holiest arrival points for a 21st century human. It's not Rumi, it's not Socrates, but it's just, and it's not like a throwaway bumper sticker slogan to me. It's just a reminder, sort of the Zen cone of modern lingo. Just like, it is what it is. This is what is. And that acceptance and the lack of expectation that it's going to be something other than what it is both a sign of maturity, I guess, and also a resting place for all of the developing ego drive that children and teenagers and young adults have. So I'm old, so I get to say it is what it is. But the blue monkey time brings out the child self. And I saw that in some other people. I'm like, oh, okay, they're wrestling with what happened in childhood in the past is up for them. Or they're acting like a child. This is their child self on display. And then I really ran into my own material on this blue solar storm day, and I couldn't connect it to childhood until someone prompted me, because I always ask that question when I'm working with people intuitively and socially. It's just like, well, what does it remind you of? Because it seems like we develop a specific memory comes from an incident when we're young. And then in order to resolve that or repeat it so that we can somehow, it's like we get cut in a shape by an experience that happens when we're young, and then our shape that we made ourselves into a shape that adjusted to that experience, and then life keeps giving us other puzzle pieces that fit into the shape that we formed. So we have repeated echoing situations that are just like what happened in childhood, and we all know that. That's pop psychology in every text. And so in the blue monkey wave spell, if we look deeply, we can notice like, oh, okay, my discomfort today is from some kind of childhood thing. And to that end, I'm going to tell a story. I think it's a coping story so that I can even continue narrating and talking about the calendar here. But in the blue monkey wave spell, blue solar storm day, I continue to have in my new home next door, someone who's really unstable, but not in the way that like a drug addict or a homeless person gets to be like pitiable in their instability. You know, like there's a reason they're unstable, and, you know, we might be irritated, but we also think of it as like kind of an affliction. But my unstable next door neighbor is more like church going and, you know, involved in immigration reform, I think, as I recall. So like probably a lot more functional in many situations than I am. I give her that credit. I'm sure she is, but she's not stable in her behavior in this little township, because I'm not the only one who has witnessed her being unglued. So she was really unglued to me once in the past, and I don't like that. Ooh, I don't like it. I'm so old that I don't like it when people yell at me publicly. I feel like, no, you don't have the authority or permission to like dress me down just because you're in a bad mood. Like there are other ways to communicate. And so I never want to talk to her again. I just don't like her. I don't want to, I'm not going to be able to show her or teach her that there's a kinder way. I just want to skirt her. But she appeared today in the property line area, and she's always judgmental, and she didn't try to talk to me, but you can just vibe, you feel it. Like, you know, nothing makes her happy, even though my property is hundreds of times nicer now after a year than when I arrived. And her complaints have been satisfied because she had plenty. But there's just this history of her being a complainer and me being not good enough. And that reminds me of childhood. I am also a complainer and I am also really critical. So I'm not trying to say that I don't understand how that happens. But I noticed, because my friend insisted that I try to figure out, like, when did this happen before so that you can change your puzzle piece shape. And I remember being like in the fifth grade, visiting my mom on a weekend, not living with her, and seeing some kids who were jerks. They were like a pack of kids running around, being really threatening, and like a little middle school gang, mixed, you know, gender, not like a real gang in the making. This was like the early 80s. But or late 70s, but they were a pack of little hoodlums and they were threatening to me. And I was at a block's distance when they were taunting me, and I flipped my middle finger at them because I am a blue storm and don't think ahead. So it was maybe not that weekend, but it was down the road. They found me alone in a schoolyard and they quote unquote beat me up. I wasn't like on the ground getting kicked like in some kind of mafia movie, but they scared the shit out of me. There were like seven or eight of them, and it was fun. They were like all different shapes and sizes, like a bunch of like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There was like a little representation of every kind of size, gender, hair color, and they were just super mean to me and slapped me and threatened me, you know, told me what they would do to me because of what I had done in the past. And I just fell apart. I mean, this has always been proof to me of how I'm not good at standing up if I'm really in danger. I just capitulate and melt. I was scared. I was beyond stressed. And I just cried. And I don't know if that was like a good strategy or not, because it was authentic, but like the biggest dwarf of all, who is older than the rest, she capitulated and she just walked me home peaceably. But I've never, I guess, forgotten that incident, because I learned from it, like, yeah, you do not want to like flaunt your power against a more sinister grouping. And outnumbered, I mean, it was just my mistake. My street smarts were undeveloped, even though we lived in this country bumpkin town full of hippies. It was just an error, and I paid, and I was very scared of them going forward. I am not scared of them now, but I guess that was just really, it's in my synapses somewhere, because I was able throughout this day, this Blue Monkey Day, to be like, okay, well, I'm acting like a child. There's something about this wave spell that is showing me my child nature, my origin story, my child experience is bleeding into this adult moment. And it was great, because I was like, was it my stepmother? She was awful. She was unstable. My mom was super unstable, but she was kind of predictably so. That might all have been in there. It might have been why I flipped those kids off. But the actual anxiety where I feel like I'm going to blow up in crying and terror was from that time. So this is how the calendar impacts my life. And this is the prism through which I see healing and use the calendar to do so. And I'm not good at the other ways of using this calendar. I don't use it for big prophecies about the future, and I'm not really connecting to the ascended Maya, even though I believe they're out there. Instead, I'm just letting each wave spell and sometimes the tribe of the day, I mean, certainly the tribe of the day, but the wave spell kind of builds up a deeper relationship to a tribe, such as the Blue Monkey I'm using the wave spells and the other cycles we move through to better understand my daily process as a human being. So another part there, I threw out that word illusion because I don't really understand it, you know, like an illusion, it feels like it's just such a vague, large topic. But I have felt when it's just a blue monkey day and a little bit more like a nugget of blue monkey instead of spread over, dispelled over 13 days, I felt on blue monkey days that you can almost count on something you think is going to happen not happening. Like, no, what do they say? Like, you know, you're faked out. Or when I was a kid, they said face. I don't know what that meant in etymology, but it meant like, yeah, it's not real. Burn, sick burn. You thought it was real. And that's really, to me, kind of the daunting part of the blue monkey moment, or just like the flavor of it, the nature of it. And then you just adapt, like it's blue monkey day and I'm going to be amused by the thing that presents as real, that is an illusion. And I'm not sure how that is over these 13 days. So I'm settling this wave spell on identifying blue monkey as like the reminder of where my child self meets other child selves, as if we're all child selves encountering each other in a place of immaturity that isn't immoral. It's just like a different retrograde, a regression state. Like, I'm a kid and here's your kid. I'll give you another example. I have someone working here who's been married for 28 years. He's like a foot shorter than I am, different cultural background. And he just like propositioned me that he could augment his marriage by hanging out with me like a night or two a week. I don't think I was flattered. I think I was just sort of flabbergasted. Like, I talk about an illusion or a childlike solution to a marriage that may be stale. Like, I don't think that's going to solve the marital boredom or the marital. I think that wouldn't be helpful. It's not what I want. So I felt like, oh, look at his child dreaming self has a very creative idea, has a solution. And, you know, I'm right there with my own. I'm not the only adult in the room. I'm a child today also. The blue monkey wave spell is ebbing. So as the full moon also ebbs, we will turn tomorrow, which is Tuesday, the 18th of January, to the yellow planetary sun peak of the blue monkey wave spell. And I really just don't think that past the planetary day, and even sort of midway through the planetary day, the 10th day of 13, the velocity and the power of the tribe that the wave spell is representing, it just wanes. It loses steam. So on the solar day today, it's like as powerful as it's ever going to get. It's on fire and it has all this intention and drive, and it's going to like go all the way to the sun and be as big as the sun with its blue monkey dynamism. And then on the planetary day, it's like, okay, well, no, you're not going any farther, actually. This is the fulfillment of your trajectory. You're not all powerful. You're not as powerful as the sun. And instead, you know, you're going to feel the cap on your ascent. The rise is going to turn to a tension point as we are rerouted to Earth. Just we bump into the ceiling of this expansion, and like, it's just back to Earth with us. So I'm kind of glad. There is something playful and hilarious about blue monkey. It's the time, this wave spell, for giggling. Like, I have been walking around without internet, you know. Not only do I need to go places to do internet check-ins, and by the way, my phone doesn't function without Wi-Fi in terms of making calls. So I'm like off on the road a lot. So I am not just hiding out at home. So I'm interfacing with the world and cracking up at the world, cracking up at myself in the world. and just like cracking up, like walking around laughing out loud at something I'm thinking about, maybe not even something in front of me, but just like so funny. And I love that part of Blue Monkey. I do. I really do. That it brings this like super unsuppressed giggly joy and humor. Humor being such a big part of it. Like, that's so funny. That is so funny. And that funniness bubbles up and out of us right now. So we're in the resonant moon. We're starting our second week. I did talk about the resonant time and its aspects last podcast. I haven't been thinking very much about it being the resonant moon, because I've been kind of sucked into the Blue Monkey demand of growth, you know, adjustment, the adjustment I'm making to the Blue Monkey energy field. Resonant means psychic. I am a psychic. I get a lot of requests for readings in this time. I know it's also associated with the new Gregorian year and people want that information, but I think you can say, well, but also because it's the resonant moon, and it always is around this time called New Year's, it's always the resonant moon. And that seeking that people do as a new beginning to the year fits really well with the vibration of the resonant tone, which is about being vibrational and being a channel that is calling in energy through us from other places. Being resonant means holding space for something to kind of vibrate through us. You know, we are the opening that something else enters, and that something else is usually like a clear seeing or a message or a sign from the vast otherness. You know, what do we call that? The other thing. But we can also be psychic with each other, and I really fight for that. I fight for divinity not just being like out in space, but inside the star seed of every one of us, meaning that we came from the divinity that is the stars in space. And so we land here as a little spark of life, and that spark of life is the divinity. That's our star seed self. And then we go through human karma and dilemmas and drama, and it doesn't mean that we can't connect to the divinity in other people with our own, without our own, you know, that other people's divinity can surpass ours and feed us when we're cut off from our own. But that there's plenty of this purity all around us, and that in the resonant time, that's kind of where we're connecting the dots from somebody's sort of original soul self to another. And what can we not like about that, you know? I think logistically, I just want to point out, because I might forget to tell you, the next podcast will certainly be midweek, but I might forget that Saturday is the exact midpoint of the year. Actually, I misspoke. It's going to be Sunday into Monday, a week from now. We will be 2 weeks into the resonant moon, and the resonant moon is the central moon. It's the 7th of 13, and 2 weeks is the middle of the moon. So our exact mid-year is sort of couched between next Sunday and Monday. And I just mention that because in the middle of a 13-tone cycle is when we are resonant and open ourselves. I told you it's like a pause in the action. And it's also like going to the next level of growth by letting ourselves be richly informed by something rather than just using what we know already to keep pushing forward. We like pause to take in more whatever, you know, more guidance, more inspiration, more clarity and understanding, more connectivity, more emotion. I mean, whatever it is our channel fills with, we're going to add that to everything we've learned so far. But because it's a kind of passive time, it feels restful. We're just filling up. And doesn't mean you can't do a bunch of stuff. I mean, a really cool lifestyle would be like the Resonant Moon. You do a silent retreat and sit in meditation hours and hours a day for 4 weeks. But for the rest of us, you know, just know that I, who do the same kinds of things every day, no matter what moon or wave spell it is, can kind of be like, oh, that's interesting. My repetitive movement is now informed by childlike play or childlike insecurity and fear or psychic ability. I'm suddenly a channel as I paint the fence. Yeah, there's just, I don't know if it's peacefulness because the resonant moon is now intersected with the full moon and the retrograde and the blue monkey wave spell. So that wouldn't really indicate that we could just say, well, it's the resonant time. It's restful. It's a pause. It's peaceful. But nonetheless, it's part of the situation we're in and the backdrop. And I love it. I do love the resonant tone. And I like resonant people are very psychic. And I find that one of my favorite human characteristics or capabilities. So this is the time of psychic ability. Now, with the remaining time, I'm going to move into the future a tiny bit to tell you what's coming. So Tuesday is a yellow sun day. And what I like to say about the yellow sun day is that it's the end of another cycle. Like, we don't really focus on every red dragon day of the 20-day cycle being the beginning. But if you look at the Dzogchen, it's clear when you get to yellow sun that it's at the end of a column. It's at the bottom, and then we move back to the top for red dragon, and we keep dropping through these 20-day columns, 13 of them, to complete a Dzogchen of 260 days. So if you are looking at that grid, as it were, then you know that when we get to yellow sun, that it is a completion point, and that the story of the 20 days is that we start in the womb and with the mother in darkness and a primordial, wet, nurturing space that's a lot like the embryonic fluid that we grow in when we're in utero. And we end rising to the light, which is how people describe dying. And at the same time, I just explained my perception, which is a bit hackneyed, that we also come from light, a little spark of light, a little tiny sun spark. Piece of the sun is our beginning point. So the sun that we come to at the end of the 20 days is also the sun that we start of when we go back into the womb for a new, we're created from conception. Like, the sun spark is also the conception of our next growth cycle, our next emergence. But what I would point out about yellow planetary sun is that it's the end of the central column, the seventh column of the Dzogchen. And that column, I told you a little while ago, is called the mystic column. And there are no quote-unquote portal days in the mystic column. It's the only column of the Dzogchen that doesn't have these dark days that are called galactic activation portals. But that is because it is the central column and acts like a chakra column moving through our body that is just one portal after another for all time. So this mystic column is mystical. It's just constantly so. And it's a kind of beautiful, otherworldly, sparkly environment that we inhabit for 20 days. And that's coming to a conclusion this yellow sun day, Tuesday, as well. And then just quickly, the red spectral dragon will be the kind of undoing of the blue monkey time. Mom comes home, the Cat in the Hat, everyone's being crazy. And then you see mom's shoe coming up the walkway in the illustration. And that is what is happening on Wednesday. Some maternal nurturance to kind of rein in the time of the child, the blue monkey wildness, the blue monkey irresponsibility is going to be contained by a mother's arms. And I think that's about as far as we're going to go. I'm going to try to get back in the saddle here. Should have some Wi-Fi. My retrograde experience of being disconnected from the World Wide Web will pass. There's a lot of cool stuff about reading a magazine or a book that I've forgotten about. I wish I didn't have to get internet again, but I don't seem to have the maturity to have internet and not use it, so I have to get it. And so, thanks for your patience. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.